Good afternoon, everyone. It's good of you to be here, and whether it was something that you were obliged to do because that's what you typically do on Sunday, or whether this is your first time in a church in general, or your first time in our congregation, we hope that you feel welcome. We hope that you find that we have praised God effectively today, that we have done so not according to our own interests and lusts and desires, but according to God's desires. And we pray that all that we do can be uplifting to you and make sure that you are in a right relationship with God. I appreciate Fred leading songs tonight, modifying our typical traditional approach to things and giving us a few more songs. I had messaged him yesterday in preparation for our service today to try and coordinate some songs with the topic of our discussion, which is the power of praise. And we're thinking about Psalm 145 to that end. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 145. We'll be very much anchored there in that text tonight. In case you didn't quite understand what Fred was saying, our song system on the computer is set to the revised version of the hymnal. And he was leading from the non-revised version of the hymnal. So he had four verses. In the revised version, it's down to three verses. And so that was the explanation for that. Although, we almost got to engage in a congregational mumbling. So that would have been fun. Psalm 145 is what we're looking at tonight. And you'll notice that the last six psalms all begin with the same idea of praising God. The last six psalms all focus repeatedly on this theme of praising God and praising the Lord. Or this may be one of those Hebrew words that you know, hallelujah. Hallelujah is how all these begin. In Psalm 145, and Julia, pay attention to verse 3. You're going to recognize this one. I will praise you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. And Psalm 145 verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all. And his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in good time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My word, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. You have a superscript in your Bible. It probably says something along the lines of a psalm of praise of David. David had an affinity for writing psalms of praise. He also wrote psalms of lamentation from time to time, but he was definitely known for his psalms of praise. And these are words of worship concerning God's goodness and glory. They are reflections upon who God is and his character, his identity. And it is a cause of praise. And by looking at this song, we can see that wherein we involve and engage ourselves in praise, there is power. Now we have a tendency to kick against a lot of charismatic notions. And we do that, I think, rightfully. But there is a sense in which praise is empowering. That when we come together collectively, that we should feel empowered, not drained, not exhausted, but empowered, invigorated, exhilarated. And that is what this psalm is telling us. Of course, the object of praise, the object of all holy praise, is God. In Psalm 145, again, verses 1 through 3, I will praise you, or I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Do you ever just spend time saying, God, you are great. You are magnificent. We should. We should adore God because of how wonderful and great he is. In verses 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Now, I love that word all. So whenever I read a text that uses that word all over and over again, you're going to notice that I stop on each one of those. Because that's really about who God is. God is not a respecter of persons. He is not this except this. He is all. He cares about all people. He is attentive to all. That's why we can praise him forever and ever. That's why we can do it every day. And it still would not be enough. We would always fall short. Because the only worthy object of our holy praise and adoration is God. This psalm and many others, including all the rest of these songs in the Psalter, begin and end with praise to the Lord. Every line is a tribute to God. Every single line. And it ends in verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. There's a personal side to this song, where he says, I will praise him, my mouth will praise him, and then the rest of the psalm focuses on everybody praising the Lord. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. The Talmud says that any Jew who repeated this psalm 3 times a day would be sure that they were a child of the world to come. Just by saying, and meaningfully saying, or meaningly saying, meaningfully, there we go, meaningfully saying Psalm 145 3 times a day, you could have assurance of heaven. One of these verses, verse 15, the eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due time. This is what the Jews would say as grace before their meals. The psalm speaks as eloquently to Christians as to ancient Israel. It speaks eloquently when we read it as when David originally wrote it. Because God rules and he cares for his people. This psalm should be immediately understood and immediately loved. One resource for effective living for God is praise. If you want to live an effective, God-fearing life, you must be praising God. The attitude of praise opens the windows of the heart, so the sun's rays shine in. Now look at the ways that this psalm describes God. It says that he is blessed. It says that he is great. It says that he is unsearchable. It says that he is gracious, merciful, and compassionate. The reason for our praise and thanksgiving are these qualities that he possesses. Without praise and thanksgiving, life droops in the shadow like a flower denied sunlight. But when we truly worship, life takes on a glow and it takes on a power. And being thankful requires a heart that is open to the glory of life and God. Now, some attitudes of mind God cannot bless. But thankfulness and praise, God will bless those. Because thankfulness and praise open the heart to God's influence. Just as Lydia's heart was opened by the Lord, so all hearts too can be opened by thankfulness and praise, and so too can they be closed by ingratitude and irreverence. And we must praise God if we are going to be blessed by him. We must praise God if we are to endure the cruelties of this life, and if we are to not allow the successes of this life to close us off from God. We must praise him. In so doing, we can withstand adversity, we can count our blessings, we can succeed, and we can excel. When hardship takes us, praising God enables us to see that others have been here before us and they have left a shining example to follow. We are surrounded by a whole grouping of witnesses, tens of thousands of witnesses that have seen hardships beyond anything we could fathom. And when we are thankful to God, he enables us to rise above and to stay above our troubles. It does not take all the troubles away, but it helps us to rise above them. The way out of most troubles is to go through them. And we can overcome by being bigger. And the only way to get bigger is to tap into the biggest one that there is. God himself. Now there may not be an easy answer, but praising God helps bring victory. I'm not advocating, of course, for us to be oblivious to the realities of this world that plague us. But I am saying this, that praise enables us to have power. And the lack of praise strips us of God's power. When we praise God, we don't simply ignore our problems, we approach them boldly in a spirit of thanksgiving. And we obey God's command to entrust ourselves to him, all of our anxieties and all of our fears, so that his surpassing peace might abound in us. You see, praise provides a framework whereby we deal effectively with our problems. So the object of our praise is God. But praise has to be persistent. You see, it's very easy from time to time to give it your all. But to give it your all the time, that's something we struggle with. Praise has to be persistent. Notice in Psalm 145 the persistence here. Verse 14, the Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Verses 19 and 20, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So it is in good times, and it is in bad times, and it is in the times in between that we must persistently praise God. And look at the words that are used to encourage a believer here. The rewards, if you will. God upholds, raises up, gives food, fulfills desires, hears the cries, perseveres, preserves. Now we must persist in praising God, even when life doesn't go our way. Praise is a persistent virtue. Praise works through difficulty. It is David who writes this song, and David had his fair share of difficulties. Praising works through difficulty because we are not entitled to things simply because they are within our grasp. God entrusts things to us, but they are His. The Lord has given, and the Lord can take away too, Job said. Praising God can carry us through life's greatest losses. It is God's hold on us that is the key to the thankful heart. Psalm 145, verse 14, the Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Nothing will happen today or tomorrow that God and you cannot handle. But I assure you that things will happen today and tomorrow and other days that you alone cannot handle. In the darkest hour, the heart can still be grateful because God has given us wonderful days to share His love. The life is like a fleeting vapor. We have many good days, and those good days are testimonies to His love. However short our life might seem, each day is a gift from God. And we will praise God, and we will encourage each other as long as it is called today. This is the Lord's day, and we will praise Him. But we need to practice praise, because persistence and spiritual habit requires practice. If we understand that in the physical, certainly we must understand that in the spiritual too. It requires practice. In Psalm 145, verses 6 and 7, men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. And then again in verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. Even verse 4 earlier on, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. My beloved wife has taught our children Psalm 145, verse 3. She has passed that on to our children. That's a wonderful thing. Are you passing this on to your children? Are you perpetuating the importance of praising God, the empowerment that comes from praising God? We have to practice this, and we have to teach our children to practice this, because the kingdom consists of generation following generation and telling of the mighty acts of God. Over in Psalm 78, Psalm 78, verses 2 through 4, we see this idea declared to us. Psalm 78, verses 2 through 4, I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old. This statement is applied to Jesus in the New Testament, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. Are you the unbroken link between your generation and the next generation? Or are you the broken link? Praise is evidence of our faith to all, but especially those in our homes. We give our brightest testimony for God when we speak in a positive way of His glory and of His love. Contrarywise, constant complaints weaken our efforts to share God's good news with others. After all, why would somebody go to somebody who always has bad news and complaints for good news? The life of Christians must sound forth the music of praise to the Lord. And we need to join in a mighty chorus of gratitude and thanksgiving, even in the face of death. God has blessed us richly. And the joyful heart is to sing, as James tells us. We are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are to praise God because that's empowering. And Lord knows we need power. So if you have never obeyed the gospel, you're missing out on the power that it takes to endure this life. And you probably, you no doubt, feel overwhelmed by the challenges that this life is throwing to you. You don't have to continue feeling like that. You can change your circumstances. You can know the joy of spiritual salvation. You can obey the gospel. Because the reality is that God loves you so much, He is so compassionate, and He is so merciful that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, to deliver you from all guilt, to deliver you from all shame, to deliver you from everything that you have chosen to do in opposition to Him. And He is to be praised for that act of grace. But it takes confession of Jesus as the Lord. It takes a change, a demonstrable change in your life. Change in the way you think, a change in the way that you perform your actions, and the way that you react to others, the way that you react within yourself, the way that you react towards God. And it takes the washing away of your sins. It's a great demonstration. It's not a physical cleansing, although it might feel like it. It's a spiritual cleansing, where the Holy Spirit scrubs you down and takes all of that guilt, all of that shame, all that ugliness, and detaches it from your spirit, so that you can be a saint set apart for His will. And God be praised also, that though we have turned against Him in many ways, we have an advocate with the Father. As many of us who are clothed with Christ, we have an advocate with the Father. And we can confess our sins, which we all fall into from time to time, and we can be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness, praising God for that forgiveness. We can have peace, perfect peace in Jesus. But that requires an openness to share and to reach out for help. We pray that you have that openness tonight, that you have that sharing and that humility tonight, so that we can praise God together for your forgiveness, for your restoration, and for all of us to praise God together. It would be a wonderful gift. So tonight, if you have been led astray from God, if you have never been in a relationship with God, change it. Because God wants you to, and we want you to, but you need to want it to. So we're going to sing Peace, Perfect Peace. If you have a need, please come forward as together we stand and sing.